Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's go straight into the word. Jonah chapter 3, verse 3. If you can open your Bible with me. I love this confession. Who's got their Bible? Can I see your Bible? Can I see your Bible? Can I see your Bible? Come, be active. Okay. Say, this is my Bible. It is the Word of God. I am what it says I am. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some statements, we speak them by faith, and they become a reality over time. Amen. All right. Jonah chapter 3, verse 3. That's a chance for us to go straight into our own Bibles. So you lifted your Bible, open your Bible to Jonah chapter 3. It might be a difficult one to find if you go to the index. All right. Go to the index and you find Jonah. You go to the page. All right. Jonah chapter 3, verse 3. And Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of Jehovah. And Nineveh was a very great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be no more. We don't know how Nineveh is going to be overthrown. Ah, praise the Lord. We're back on. Okay. We don't know how Nineveh is going to be overthrown, but in 40 days, they were given a grace period of 40 days. Grace period. And the people of Nineveh believed God. And they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. For word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he said, and he laid his robe from him, and covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Can you imagine the president of a nation doing that? Verse 7. And he cried out and said, in Nineveh, by the decree of the king, and his great ones, saying, do not let man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them feed nor drink water, but let man and animal be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. And let them each one turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? He may repent, and God may have pity and turn away from the glow of his anger, so that we do not perish. Verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God was compassionate over the evil that he had said, to do to them, and he did not do it. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Father, I thank you for the preaching of the word this morning. I pray for revelation knowledge. I pray for understanding. I pray, Father, that you'd speak to us today. Let every heart, every soul be opened to hear what you have in store for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you're joining us for the first time, you find us in the middle of a series titled Commissioned. Okay? We've been doing Commissioned for the past 3 weeks, and today we're doing part number 4. All right? In the last 3 weeks, the Lord has been challenging us as a church to go back to the basics, to go back to the beginning. Okay? And you might be asking, what is the beginning? What is the Lord telling us to do as a fundamental thing that we ought to be doing as a church? Now, let me say this morning, there's only one thing that distinguishes the church from any other organization. And that is, the church is the only institution that is able to introduce men to eternity. I want to repeat that. The one distinction between a church of Jesus Christ and any other organization is this one thing. It's only the church that can introduce a soul to eternity. I was hoping that you're going to say amen to that. Because that is what makes you special as a child of God. There isn't any other person except a child of God who is able to go to another person and say, Jesus loves you. And if you receive him today, you are guaranteed that you'll have eternal life. There's nothing, nobody else who can do that except the church. What that means is that when the church fails to introduce people to eternal life, then that church is no different from a soccer club. That church is no different from a school down the road. That church is no different from a golf club down the road. And my question this morning is, are we different from a Stockfield down the road where people come together and they contribute money and they'll get something at the end of the year? How different are we as the Church of Jesus Christ from the Muslims? How different are we as the Church of Jesus Christ from Shembe? Come on now. How different are we? This is the point this morning. Now, allow me to introduce our subject matter this morning. I want to talk to you on the matter when mess collides with mercy. When mess collides with mercy. I thought that was quite interesting when you think about it. Now, let me put it this way. One thing happens when a 22-wheeler truck collides with a Toyota Yaris. Think about a 22-wheeler, those big trucks, massive trucks. And think about a small vehicle, whatever vehicle it is. The truth of the matter is the Yaris cannot stand against a massive vehicle. Now, it would not be far from the truth to say the same thing happens when your mess that you are in collides with the mercy of God. The same thing happens. Put this down. There is no amount of mess that God's mercy cannot deal with. Come and speak to me this morning. Because I think this is a beautiful topic. We are talking about the mess that we find ourselves in and the mercy of God. The reality is that our mess deserves punishment. Our mess deserves retribution. Our mess deserves consequences. As much as when somebody has stolen something, there must be a consequence for that bad behavior. As much as you've been caught by a traffic cop speeding, there must be a consequence. And you should be prepared to face the consequences of you speeding. And this brings us in the realm of some powerful spiritual principles that speaks of justice, mercy, and grace. What is justice? Justice is getting what you deserve. That is punishment. So if you steal, there is a consequence. Okay? That is justice. On the other hand, mercy is not getting what you deserve. In other words, mercy says you deserve to be punished. You're supposed to pay a price, but because I am merciful, you will not get punished. That is what mercy is. And then the third dimension is grace. Grace is getting what you do not deserve, and that is salvation. None of us deserve salvation. And we are saved by grace through faith. Not because we are so good, not because we are well behaved, but because of the grace of God, you and I have salvation this morning if you are born again. Now, for some of us this morning seated in this place, the devil has been telling us that you are so full of mess that you need to pay a price. And you've looked at the price that you're supposed to pay for the mess that you're in, and the price is just too much. And many people are in that place, in this conundrum, where you feel like I deserve to be punished, but the punishment might require me to lose certain things in my life. Now, this was the story of the city, or the great city of Nineveh. It was a great city in a great mess. A great city in a great mess. Because the reason why we are talking about the book of Jonah, it is because the Lord, the God of heaven, came to Jonah and said, the wickedness of this city has come up to my ears. In other words, it was a city that was in a great mess. Now, has anyone This has happened to me. I don't know, maybe it has also happened to you. Has anyone come to you and told you, my friend, I am in a mess? Have you heard that before? Your friend calls you. It's like, my friend, I am in a mess. And you know, well, what happened? What did you do? And the guy before he goes, like, my life is in a mess. That's what I can tell you right now. Sometimes this guy will then tell you, you know what? My girlfriend just told me she's pregnant. Come on, huh? Let's be real. The guy phones, he says, I am in a mess. And the mess is, my girlfriend is pregnant. And the guy knows there's trouble. Or another guy phones, he's like, my friend, I'm in a mess. Like, what's the story? My wife just found out that I've been unfaithful. She just read my communication with my small house. And the guy knows he is in trouble. Another one phones you, like, my friend, I'm in a mess. Remember the deal I spoke to you about? I've just been caught. And I'm being charged for fraud. I am in a mess. These are real issues. These are things that are found in the house of God. I'm not even talking about the non-believers. I'm talking about stuff that happens in the four walls of the church of Jesus Christ. And from time to time, we get our lives in a mess. We get entangled in stuff that we can't get ourselves out of. What do you do? Now this morning, I don't know what type of a mess you're in. But what I know, there is a place that is stronger than the mess that you are in. There is a place that is stronger than the issues you're going through. And that place is called the mercy seat of God. Where justice is calling out for punishment. When justice is calling out for you to go to prison. Sometimes you might have to go to prison. But God is gracious. He will meet up with you, whatever situation you find yourself in. Now put this down. No one has ever approached the mercy seat and came out in a deeper mess. Take note of that. Nobody has come before God, the mercy seat of God, full of mess, and you leave that place feeling even worse off. It doesn't happen like that. All the time, whenever somebody runs before the mercy seat of God, remember in the Old Testament, when somebody was being pursued and they're about to kill him, the guy would run into the temple, he would hold on to the horns of the ark. He'll hold on to it, and the moment he does that, they'll back off. What's going on here? This guy is before the presence of God. And this morning, I want to say to you, it doesn't matter how messy you look. When you approach the mercy seat of God, you come out of that place full of mercy, full of grace, full of compassion, full of peace. Why? Because he says, welcome, my son, I will sort you out. Glory be to God. Can I say this to you? You do not clean yourself before you jump into a shower, do you? You jump into the shower to get clean. You jump into the bathtub for you to be cleaned. And therefore, don't try to sort yourself out before running to the mercy seat of God. It is the place where you get cleaned. It is a place where God patches you up, renews you, and sends you back to where you're coming from. Glory be to God. It's called the mercy seat of God. Now, in today's reading, we catch up with this repentant laborer called Jonah. We've been talking about Jonah for the past 3 weeks, trying to run away from the maker of heaven and earth, and eventually the maker of heaven cornered him. Do you know God will corner us? God will get us where he wants us to be. And there was Jonah cornered by God. And then eventually Jonah agrees to be used by God. After a lot of persuasions, Jonah was eventually doing what God had asked him to do. Jonah 3 verse 3. The Bible says, and Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of Jehovah. And Nineveh was a very great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be no more. Jonah was now trumpeting a word of warning. Jonah went right through the city, preaching a word of warning. I can see Jonah going into the shopping malls of Nineveh and looking for people. You know those benches you find in the shopping malls? I can see Jonah going onto one of them and sitting and praying in his heart and saying, Lord, just bring one person whom I can share this word of warning with. I can see Jonah buying a bus ticket going nowhere so that he can just reach another person. I can see Jonah going to a high school's rugby match so that he can have access to the kids, to the parents, and to the teachers, warning them, in 40 days, the city will be no more. Do you remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? Do you remember how it was brought down? If you do not change, this city will be like Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm sure that is what Jonah was doing. I can see Jonah standing on a bus stop, waiting for people coming off and walking with some of them towards their homes and telling them, do you know, we only have 40 days to leave. If you don't change your ways, this place won't look the same way after 40 days. Come on now. I'm seeing Jonah buying a ticket to go to the opera house. And when orchestra is going on, he's like, I know it's just a social event, but I'm going to go so that I can tell somebody that in 40 days, Nineveh will be no more. My question this morning is, what are you prepared to do to warn somebody that, buddy, if you die without Jesus, there is no peace after this? What are you prepared to do? Are you prepared to board a bus going nowhere, just paying the ticket, going down to Mamelodi so that you can spend some time with people in a taxi somewhere sharing the gospel? Are you prepared to join your estate body corporate so that you can have an opportunity to share Jesus with somebody? This is what Jonah was doing. Jonah pulled all the stops in order to reach as many people as possible. I was praying for you this morning and say, Lord, may each one of us have a revelation of the urgency of the gospel. We do not have all the time in the world. We do not have all the time in the world. And this is the urgency that Jonah had. The Jonah who was running away from Jehovah now was full of compassion. And he was saying, 40 days, 40 days, and this great city will not be great anymore. Yesterday you had an opportunity to tell somebody that tomorrow you might not have your day. What happens if that would visit you? 40 days and Nineveh will be no more. You see, when Jonah went through the city with the word of the Lord, he gave the city an opportunity to present its mess before the mercy of God. And somebody needs to understand this morning that the continuation of the mess in your community is not the absence of the mercy of God. It is the absence of exposure to the mercy of God. The continuation of trouble in your family is not the absence of the goodness of God. It is the absence of knowledge of the mercy of God. It is the absence of revelation of the goodness of God. And guess what? I am the doorkeeper. I am the one standing on the door of the mercies of God to be revealed to my family. You are the doorkeeper. Put this down. The proclamation of the gospel gives every man an opportunity to encounter God's mercy. So every time you preach the gospel, you are giving man an opportunity to encounter the mercy of God. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. We're driving to church. Shared with him, and it came out that this guy is a believer. I said, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. So from just talking about salvation, this man started testifying on the goodness of God in his life. He started telling me of the miracles that he has experienced in his life. I'm talking about miracles like this guy fell off a ladder and broke his back, became paralyzed on his left-hand side, but he believed God for healing and the Lord healed him. I'm talking about a guy who had a brain operation and a nerve ruptured in his brain. And the doctors declared him, you're going to vegetate. He was telling his wife, like, you better get ready because your husband, when he comes out of this, he'll be a vegetable. And the guy said to me, you know what, Michael? When I had the doctor saying that to me, in my state, I could not answer back. But in my heart, I say to myself, who does this doctor think he is? He is not God. He cannot determine how my life will play out. 3 months down the road, the guy was walking and doing his life normally. I was so inspired after that conversation. It started because I took a step to speak about spiritual journey. And I'm saying to us this morning, we have to come to that place of being sensitive of what Jesus is doing in our world. So what is the point here? No one can withstand the power of God's word. No one can withstand the power of God's word. The Bible says, when they heard the word of God, Nineveh repented. Now, I don't know what your situation is. Every time you face an impossible situation, all you need to do is to present that situation to the word of God. The word is what you need for your victories. You know, in my life, I haven't lived that long, but I've lived long enough to realize that it's not always that things happen at the click of a finger. And I've learned that there's a moment in time in my life where I have to tarry. I have to wait on God. I have to trust Him. I have to confess the word until the word becomes a reality. And I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you've been waiting on that bus stop, waiting for your bus. But he said the bus is coming. He might not have told you when it's coming, but the bus is coming. So you wait patiently. Glory be to God. The Bible says in John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. So the Word of God is the material that can create the future you want. You and I have got to stick it out. We've got to stick out with the Word. What are our options? Hebrews 4 verse 12, the Bible says, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. The power of the word is so astounding. When you truly get into the word will truly get into you. And I want to challenge the church today. We've got to graduate from just drinking milk. We've got to get deeper into the Word. We've got to get into the meaty stuff of the Word and grow our faith. If I can ask you this morning, what have you added to the quiver of your ammunition in the past month? Have you been able to take another aspect of the Word and you're running with it this morning? We can become very religious to a point where the only scriptures that we know are scriptures that we learned right at the beginning of our walk with Jesus. But the Bible says nothing was made which was not made by the Word. And therefore, the more of the Word I have in my spirit, the more of what the Word produces becomes a reality in my life. When the Word of God says, by His stripes, you are healed, you've got to steward that healing by staying in the Word of God. Does somebody hear me this morning? You see, when the Word of God gets into you, it starts reading and exposing all the hidden mess that we carry. The Bible says the word of God is like a mirror. Hey, the word of God is like a mirror. When you read the word, it reads you. It exposes the state of your heart. And this morning, I want to ask you, whenever you read, what do you see about yourself? And what do you do about what you see? The word of God is like a mirror. And here the Bible says, it is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit. So when you get into the word starts exposing all the hidden things that need the mercy of God to deal with. God is alive and active. So is his word. Our hearts are laid bare before the word of God. We need to run into the word and allow the word to do its work in our lives. Just like the Ninevites, when they heard the word of God, they could not help it but respond. Look at this, Jonah 3 verse 5. The Bible says, and the people of Nineveh believed God. Are we still believers? And the people of Nineveh believed God, and they called a fast, and they put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. To those of you who are married with children, when last did you declare a fast for the whole household? Mom, dad, kids. Even if your child is young, I've heard my little boy fasting for two meals. One meal. He has to start somewhere. He has to understand the principle of prayer and fasting. And the Bible says here, when the Ninevites heard the word of God, they believed God and they said, you know what? We can't do life as usual. When your life is in a mess, you cannot do life as usual. You've got to do things differently. Because when you do things differently, heaven will respond. Glory be to God. You see, no human being has capacity to change another human being. I have seen it as a pastor. I can love on people. I can be present, but I cannot convince you to do what God has called you to do. I can't change your mind. If you decide today to do your own thing, you have a choice to do it. If you decide today to leave the church, you have a choice to do it. But what I know is that when people are exposed to the powerful word of God, the word will change people. Glory be to God. That is why we encourage you to get into the word by yourself. When you come to church like this, I call this pep talk. It's halftime pep talk. A coach gets his players at halftime and he pumps them, but they must go back into the field. Life happens between Monday and Saturday. This is pep talk. And therefore, what you do in those 6 days really determines how your life will end up. Does somebody hear me this morning? Now, put this down. The word of God is the only hope for the transformation of a wicked generation. The word of God was the only hope to change the wickedness of this great city called Nineveh. Nobody could have changed them except the word of God. The response of Nineveh can only be attributed to the power of the word of God. So the city went into mourning. The city cried out to God. The Ninevites responded in line with the word. You see, your mess can only be dealt with when you choose to cooperate with the word of God. So many times we hear the word, but if you do not cooperate with what the word says, things will remain the same. I want to encourage you this morning to submit yourself to the authority of the word. Okay, if there are challenges with submitting to anybody else, but at least let's submit to the authority of the word, because that is where hope lies. Now, the great city of Nineveh had a choice to either respond accordingly or to collide with the wrath of God. That's the reality. They were told 40 days' time, the city will be no more. And they had a choice to either choose to respond accordingly and try out maybe God will do something, or to say, you know what? We've heard about these gods. When last did you hear of a God destroying a whole city? Come on now. This city is awesome. This city is great. Look at the skyscrapers. Look at the shopping malls. Look at all of this business. How can a God destroy all of this? And this is the thoughts of men. Men look at themselves and say, how can God, a loving God, how can he allow me to go to hell? Do you know that there are people who are preaching that exclusive gospel, inclusive gospel that says God is so loving, he's not going to allow people to go to hell? The truth of the matter is there are some things you don't want to find out when you're on the other side. No, you don't want to find out when you are there that in actual fact the word was true. And therefore you and I have a responsibility to sound the warning and say heaven is real, hell is real. God is loving, but God is also a God of justice. He's a God of mercy. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Allow him to come into your life. Now, the Bible says in verse 9. Now, the Ninevites heard the word and they responded, who knows? He may repent. Wow. Who knows? He may repent. And God may have pity and turn away from the glow of his anger so that we do not perish. I want you to know this morning that who knows works. When you come before God, you're saying, you know, I'm so messy, but who knows, I might find mercy with God. Men have rejected me. They don't see any good in me because I have disappointed them. But who knows, if I come before God, he might just take me back. Who knows, the Lord will say, come therein and have peace in me. Who knows, the Lord will say to me, I have separated you from your sin as far as his east is from west. Who knows, the Lord will come and restore my marriage. Who knows, the Lord will restore me financially. Yes, I did not manage my finances properly. You know, some of us were reckless with our finances. When we had money, we were not good stewards of it. We do not give when we're supposed to give. We do not save when we're supposed to save. And the whole system is telling you are doomed. But you can say, who knows? I can come before God and he will restore me my finances. Who knows? The Lord can have mercy on me. Some of us have not been looking after our health. We've just been living as if we are terminators who don't die. And now things have caught up with us. But you can say, who knows? The Lord would heal me. The Lord would deliver me from this diabetes. The Lord will set me free from this high blood pressure. Who knows? You messed up in your last job and they chucked you out. And you feel, how can I apply for another job? But you can come before God. Who knows? The Lord will be gracious and open a door for you. Just because he can. Who knows? You see, when God saw their brokenness, when God saw their remorse, when God saw their godly sorrow, he responded in kind. You know what, guys? There's no issue that God cannot deal with. And that is why we are saying, who knows? Who knows, if I present my mess, he will clean it out. Men can always remind you. Men can always remember, but because the mercy seat said no, I want you to know it doesn't matter what men thinks of you. You are a new person. The Bible says, behold, all things have become new. Glory be to God. That's called mercy. Who knows? He will repent. Jonah 3 verse 10. If we try and land this plane. And the Bible says, and God saw their works. You see, God sees the good, the bad, and the ugly. He saw their wickedness. But now he is seeing their works, that they turned from their evil way. He saw them burning their gods. He saw them burning the idols. He saw them burning all this black magic stuff, the voodoo stuff. Again, talking to this person I was talking to yesterday, he said to me, do you know, back in the 80s, I was in black magic. I was in voodoo. He said, I could see things before they happened. I could see things. One day I told my wife, don't drive through that intersection. You'll meet an accident. Okay? But his wife went on. Dwah. The wife phones. Says, when my wife phoned, the first thing I asked, I said to him, how bad is the damage on the car? Okay? And then the wife says, but why are you not asking about my health? But I know, because you're not hurt. Voodoo. Divination. He said to me, you know what? I was so demonized until two ministers came to me and prayed for me. And the Lord delivered me. He says, the day I was delivered, it was like a lightning bolt came out of me. And the Lord set me free. From that day on, I gave my life to Jesus. Who knows? Who knows? And he said to me, when we tried to burn the black magic books, they could not burn. Prayer period. But at some point, the power of God took over and there was victory. I'm talking about the mercy of God. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And when this man turned from his evil way, the Lord set him free. The Lord delivered him. Who knows? It doesn't matter how deep you have gone into certain things. There's a place called mercy seat. There is a place where the Lord can set you free. There's a place where the Lord can give you a new beginning. Maybe your heart is full of bitterness, anger, rage, unforgiveness. There is a place called mercy seat where when you come today and you say, Lord, I open up my heart. I wanna forgive. I don't know how to. Lord, give me the grace to forgive. He says, I will give you grace to forgive. It's not going to just happen like that, but over time, you will get victory. You'll be able to release certain people. And before we go home today, somebody needs to make that commitment to say, Lord, I have an issue with my former boss. I mean, I had some time. My former boss did not pay me my last month salary. I had an issue with him. I'm still getting over it. Come on now. I'm saying this to open up a door for you to be able to say, Lord, I need grace. But, well, the Lord has paid back multiple times. God is good. Hallelujah. The reason why I'm saying I'm dealing with it, sometimes when I think of it, I get angry. Okay, I'm human, right? You guys are saints. You guys are angels, right? So when I make that prayer altar call today, I will be there. I will say, Lord, help me. I really want to get over this issue. I want to let him go. I want to go free into what God has called me into. Glory be to God. There's some stuff that we hold on to and we are not able to move into our next dimension because this thing is pulling us back. So the mercy of God. Put this down. God's mercy will offend the self-righteous because it qualifies the mercy to see God's goodness. Okay, somebody must quote that. You hear what I'm saying? God's mercy will offend the self-righteous. You know what God's mercy does? It takes the murderers of this world. It takes the sexual promiscuous people of this world. It takes the robbers of this world and show them the goodness of God. And I stand there angry over this person and saying, how can they be in church? How can they be on the pulpit? How can... Well, self-righteousness is killing you. This person has presented his mercy before God, and God says, welcome back, prodigal child. I've been waiting for you. There is so much in me. Glory be to God. There is a place for you in God. There is a place for me in God. Hallelujah. So don't be a doorkeeper to the mercy of God. I have a responsibility to expose people around me to the goodness of God. Come on now. Does somebody hear me this morning? God's mercy will offend the self-righteous because it qualifies the mercy to see God's goodness. The Bible says, let us therefore approach the throne room of grace that we might obtain help and mercy in the days of need. Therefore, we need to encourage those who are in a messy situation to come back to God. Wow. So the mercy of God is outrageous. It will touch the unlovable, the liars, the sexual immoral, the drunkards, and the corrupt. That is what the mercy of God does. It washes us. It enables us to experience God again. So the best you can do is to be a facilitator of the mercy of God. The best I can do is to show other people that there is a better tomorrow when you come to Jesus. I want to say this. I wrote this down. Don't be that party pooper who stands in the way of mercy. You know, party poopers, people who just mess up the whole party. Everybody is having fun and you come and you throw water over there. No, don't do that. Come on now. Don't be a party pooper. Don't be a messy pooper. Yes, let's say it that way. Be that person who opens up the door for people to see the goodness of God, the love of God, hallelujah, the Father heart of God. That picture we see of the Father waiting for his prodigal son to come back home. Let's tell people about that type of God. That is the God who has called us. Glory be to God. So what's the story this morning? Don't be a messy pooper. Don't do it even for yourself. Don't stop yourself from coming back to God. No matter how far you've gone, always remember, your Father's heart is so broad. Your Father's heart is so wide. Be like the Ninevites. When they heard the word of God, they believed in the goodness of God. Maybe he will repent. Maybe he will look upon me. Maybe his hand will be stretched out upon me. Maybe he will heal me. He will deliver me. He will set me free.